Checkerfin. Checkerfin.
Boredom is always in my head.
Checkerfin. Checkerfin.
Yes.
It's the education gadfly.
Sex, sex.
Mike and Rick tell you
early college, high school, pain and suffering,
learning and teaching.
In your face, in your face,
your
face.
Listen to your words that they be preaching. Cause here's the education gadfly show. Yeah. It's the education gadfly.
Hello, this is your host Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. Here with my co-host and keynote speaker Rick Hess.
Hey, how you doing, baby?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm not wearing orange.
You're not wearing orange. That's right.
Hillary did not give a keynote. What am I saying? She just seemed to give the keynote.
She was a headliner, not a keynote speaker.
What did Warner wear for the keynote?
I don't know. I think I was so bored that I turned it off before I could get that piece of information.
But Warner talked about education. This apparently raised a ruckus. People got very excited.
Yeah. Well, let's just say if this is the kind of empty rhetoric we're going to see in the campaign trail, then the N08 effort is officially a failure. But we're not allowed to talk politics too much here, Rick, because we are a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. But let me tell you a little story about something that happened just yesterday. You mentioned that this might happen to you before. I did a little blog post about New York City and criticized Chancellor Joel Klein about the reading program. And you know what happened?
What happened?
He called me up. I mean, there it is. Phone rang. It was this British woman, his executive assistant. And he gave me a hard time. And I'm thinking, I mean, there's a lot I like about Joel Klein. I think he's done very good things on structural reforms. But he has a million kids that he's supposed to be looking after. And he takes the time to just call up a blogger?
You're not just a blogger, Mike.
Now, this has happened to you, too?
Yeah. Joel, on the other hand, you got to think it's good that Joel takes intellectual engagement seriously.
I guess that's right. Well, we'll see. I blasted away at him again today. So we'll see if that earns me another phone call. Maybe a personal visit. Maybe I'll get a knock on the door. That would be very exciting.
It's a cascade of sanctions, baby.
All right. Well, we have a lot to cover today and some changes. I got to warn you, Rick. I know that you don't like change.
I don't like change.
Although I'm glad that you have changed your hairstyle over the years. Mm. You're just talking about how Rick used to have a flock of seagulls look.
I like that look.
Yeah. It's very important that that's no longer the case. But there are some changes, you know, as listeners may know, we've got some staff changes that are happening around here.
Make me sad, baby.
Kobe Loop, our producer of 2 years, is heading off. He and his beloved are, I'm not sure, beloved girlfriend, friend. Yeah, all right.
You've ruined it now, Mike.
I've ruined it now. I'm trying to. I want him to stay. But they're doing a Thelma and Louise. They're getting in a car and they're driving.
Kobe's a guy.
Oh, right.
It's more like Bonnie and Clyde.
Kobe's Thelma. Or Louise. I don't know. But they're driving across country. They're going to end up somewhere out west, and Kobe's going to write a novel.
Kobe.
That's his plan.
You know, and as his co-author on Leadership Limbo, mm-hmm. I got to say, if he brings the same taut prose to his novel that he did to that analysis of collective bargaining agreements, this is something that's going to zip to the top.
That's right. Now, another thing that's happened is that Stafford has been taking over for Liam lately on Education News of the Weird, but today she is going to make it her own segment. I know Education News of the Weird has been with us since the very beginning, but here it comes, everybody. We're going to let go of Education News of the Weird, and we're going to start Rate That Reform.
I like it. Although I am concerned that we have a lot of listeners who I think listen only for Education News of the Weird.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll look at the numbers, and then time will tell. But don't turn it off yet, everybody. Give it a chance. Give it a chance. And Amber will be here in the future for her research minute, but she's on vacation. So all that said, lots to cover. Let's get started. Christina, let's play Pardon the Gadfly.
And can I just say I still miss Jeff Cooner?
I know. We miss him, too. And you know what? The reason that we miss him is by now we were supposed to be able to listen to him on a daily basis.
What's up with that?
Well, he's still not on the air. Supposedly some sort of contract dispute. I'm not sure.
Fordham's got to release him. You guys can't hold on to that copyright stuff.
I know. Okay. All right, Christina.
Okay. Topic one. The Democrats are split on education, or so it appears from a series of events in Denver this week. First, the Democrats for Education Reform and Allies beat up on the teachers' unions at a pre-convention event. And then the union presidents got to have their say during primetime and beat up on NCLB. Is this rift for real? What are the consequences?
Well, Rick, what do you think? As far as I can tell, this rift is for real.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. You know, certainly we've seen this kind of new Democratic group these the reformers, the Teach for America, New Leaders, New Schools types have certainly become more prevalent in the Democratic coalition. And the Ed Trust and since Commission for Civil Rights types have certainly become major players and recruited a lot of superintendents. And the unions are not going anywhere. I mean, one of the interesting things for me is I'm still entirely unclear on where Obama comes down on any of this.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's been very careful not to show his cards on that. And probably even, you know, if he were to be elected president, he would try to find ways to bridge the divide between these two groups. But it's going to be difficult when it comes time to reauthorizing No Child Left Behind. The civil rights slash school reform crowd is going to want very strong accountability. They're not going to want to give in on that. And the unions obviously don't agree. So,
and the reformers don't have as many votes.
Yeah. So I think what's going to be interesting is that really Republicans on Capitol Hill, even though they're likely to be an even smaller minority, may hold a lot of power because they could either team up with the unions and push for really a devolving, you know, the federal role position, try to, you know, pull back on NCLB. Or they could choose to team up with the reformers, and I think they'll hold some cards.
Yeah, well, and the reformers' biggest card all along has been the Republicans' fear, the administration's fear of being called racist. Mm-hmm. So they've managed to get the administration to carry a lot of their water. If it's an Obama administration, it's going to be real interesting to see how much leverage that reform crowd has in D.C.
Excellent piece of analysis.
That's what I do, baby.
Moving on. A new education sector report finds that there aren't many good school choice options within driving distance of failing schools. Thus, public school choice, including inter-district choice, is unlikely to work, even if the politics allowed it. What's the takeaway?
Well, first of all, I got to say that I think this is an excellent report. Now, I say that without actually having read it, but based on the summaries that I've read, I think it's very, very creative use of they use mapping technologies to try to, you know, look at where are the high achieving schools, where are the failing schools, you know, is it would inter-district choice or intra-district choice really make a difference? And the basic finding was that it doesn't look like it, that you know, surprise, surprise, failing schools are pretty far from more successful schools in most areas.
And so I'm like, which part of this makes a neat Republican? Didn't we all pretty much presume this all along?
But they used, you know, cool mapping technology to illustrate what we thought we already knew. I kind of like that. And they find that, oh, lo and behold, it's in the suburbs where there's the most chance for this sort of thing to happen, because that's where you might happen to find schools that are not so good and schools that are very good in close proximity
again
to one another.
Which part of this is a surprise?
But what's been so interesting is the reaction. You know, the civil rights groups, particularly the sort of pro-school choice civil rights groups, have particularly had a bone to pick with this. Diane Pichet from the Citizens Commission on Civil Rights, and especially Rick Kallenberg from the Century Foundation, are really seem to be up in arms about this report, because they think that it is saying that, you know, public school choice programs aren't going to be able to work. And they say, oh, it's not true. You know, there's no reason to believe these public school choice, these good public schools aren't going to expand their capacity and welcome kids with open arms.
Because do they have any particular examples of public schools dramatically expanding their enrollment to date?
No, and Colin worked up, well, you know, this is going to only... You know, this is only going to give cover to people who don't, you know, are racist and don't want poor and minority children to be able to move to suburban schools. To which you got to say, well, I don't think the ed sector report's really going to make the difference on that one.
You think? I don't know. Can you just see? I could see covert racists coming out above, brandishing the ed sector report. Yeah, that doesn't seem to be likely.
Okay, Christian, are we ever going to get on to the third question? I mean, what?
You all were just having...
Mike. Oh, yeah, okay. You really can't beat up on her too much.
You were having so much fun. Last topic is tattoos. Should schools ban them? If they do, will they be susceptible to lawsuits on free speech grounds? Rick, why don't you start us off?
Ban them.
That's it? Ban them?
Or alternatively, require them to use that same tape that the women volleeyballers used during the Olympics. That stuff that Misty May and the really tall one were using all over their shoulders.
Right.
Tape them up.
That wasn't for tattoos. She had a shoulder injury.
I know, but you could use it for the same purpose. It pretty much covered up the skin.
I think that might be a little overboard. But
the
yes, an ace
up.
Bandage
when
or something.
When they buy school supplies, they could buy tape. Yeah. And every morning you tape up.
Well, but there could be parts of their body that still have tattoos that are, you know, not easy to tape.
Ban them.
See, I really do think that, first of all, I basically agree that if schools don't want to have kids walking around with tattoos visible, that's fine. But I think that there could be free speech grounds. I mean, what if the tattoo said, get out of Iraq, for example, right? And an administrator said, you must cover up that tattoo.
It is,
I mean, don't you think that they could file a lawsuit?
It is permissible to regulate the time and place of of conversation. Kids want to say get out of Iraq, they got notebook paper. They can write on notebook paper. They don't need to able to.
But there's a Supreme Court case back in the 60s that allowed kids to wear a black armband to protest the Vietnam War. What if they wore a tattoo that looked like a black armband?
Huh? Well, first off, Tinger was a horrible decision. So one thing is, I'd love to see a principal take this bad boy to today's court. We might actually get a ruling which would permit schools to enforce a little bit of discipline in the corridors.
Mm-hmm. It is the law of the land, though.
Oh, these are the difficult things with an out of control court, aren't they?
They are. There's that bell.
Ban them. That's all I'm saying, man.
Yeah, you had a too short answer there.
Kids shouldn't be tattooing up until they're 18 at the earliest, anyway.
That's right. Hey, you know, I should say that all this talk about the courts, remind our listeners, October 15th, a very exciting conference from Brown to Bong hits assessing 50 years of judicial interference in America's schools, a project that is a Thomas B. Fordham Institute project, but the conference being co-hosted and held at
AEI,
American
baby.
Enterprise Institute. That's right. Fordham and AEI teaming up, baby.
That's what we do.
And we've been seeing the papers already. They're very good. It's really to look at the whole waterfront of the ways that the courts get involved in education. And it's amazing. I mean, reading these papers, I got to tell you, it's breathtaking how far the courts have gotten involved in everyday affairs of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll want to come. It's a hot ticket.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, as we mentioned earlier, Amber's Research Minute is on vacation this week, but we have a new segment that we're very excited about. It is that time that in the future you will wait for all week long because you were so wowed by this first segment. It's called Rate That Reform.
Okay.
Our special correspondent, Stafford. Stafford, who has their priorities in a twist this week?
Well, Mike, first up, we've got, well, first of all, I'm going to start with two this week because this is the first week of Rate That Reform.
That's right. I think that's right. You got to come out strong.
There you go. So first up, we've got Taylor High School in Austin, Texas. And school administrators apparently think that banning red and blue t-shirts at Taylor High School will curb gang violence. I hope this doesn't cause a sharp increase in gangs choosing white or purple or green or yellow, since kids are going to quickly run out of other acceptable clothing t-shirt colors. But in any event, I was surprised that this school thought that not being able to wear a red and blue t-shirt would make them forget about their gang affiliations, because apparently when you can't represent, you know.
Oof. Although I don't know if Yaleys are allowed to say represent. Is that kosher?
So Rick, if you were in a gang, would you be a Blood or a Crip?
You know what? I've never actually met anybody in either, and I just wouldn't feel comfortable choosing until I really had a sense of the people involved.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So that's pretty crazy.
Well, I gave this
one. But not a, weird, but yeah.
Right. Well, this isn't news of the weird.
Oh, that's right. We're just rating. Okay. So what's the rating? What rating?
So I gave this one a C+. Mostly because it's just stupid.
Now, I'm confused about the grading scale. Do you get an A, the sort of stupider your policy is, or is that an F?
An F is if the policy has longer term damaging ramifications.
Okay.
Like our next, I'm still working on the grading scale.
Okay.
We're still working on it. Our next instance of Rating That Reform is also from Texas. And is in San Antonio, where court officials have decided that they will slap GPS bracelets on truant students in the hopes of keeping them in school. One official described the situation as a choice between education or incarceration. Mm. It's a nice little rhyming scheme. Doesn't really convince me. And I think it also may be a violation of some privacy laws, since the kids have to wear the bracelets at home, too. And I would love to know every time juvenile delinquents go to the bathroom. That's a really good use of my taxpayer money. In any event, I gave that one an F for a waste of taxpayer money and violation of privacy.
Well, I've got a question and then a challenge here to this. First, is GPS technology specific enough that we know if the kid's in the restroom versus in the living room?
It's a good question. I would think so. I think you can scan in. I mean, if you can know what corner you're on, you know, with those GPS tracking devices in cars, you know exactly where you turn.
So I guess in the system, you'd actually have to have the house layout for that to be feasible.
It's true.
And I got to say, I got to push back kind of, I guess, like when the American Idol judges do it. I kind of like this one. I like the whole idea of strapping googles and gadgets on the kids who are otherwise thuggish. So I think I would actually come in kind of BB plus on this one.
I mean, I'm just worried about the logistics. If it's just a bracelet, how easy is it to pass it off to another kid?
Well, these things are hard to remove.
No, they like screw it around the kids' ankles.
Oh, okay.
It's like what they put on those Hollywood types when they get their home detention.
Or like what you might see on a duck.
Yeah, you really got to saw off your ankle. It's like...
next, they're going to start, like, you know, inserting chips the way they do in
then
dogs.
That makes sense. Okay, I was worried about that because it would be too easy. Just hand it off to one of your friends.
No, they screw it on there. I saw some pictures.
Then I'm in favor of it. I'm not sure. I might push back on this too, Stafford. But okay, well, a little controversy on the first edition of Rate That Reform. All right. Well, thank you, Stafford. Very exciting.
No problem.
We will look forward to future renditions.
I like it.
I like it too.
You know, it invites participation in a way that News of the Weird never did.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it invites participation or if we just, you know, sort of jumped in with our own participation.
Either way.
I don't think I would have been able to stop you in any case.
That is true. Well, that is all the time we have for this special Labor Day weekend edition of the Education Gadfly Show. Until next week.
And actually, until several weeks from now, because I'm going to be gone, baby.
Oh, Rick is going to Hawaii. That's right. On his second honeymoon, I believe. Second half of the same honeymoon. Okay. We may, you know, sometimes, Rick, when you're gone, since you're gone so frequently, we sometimes get a guest
host. Because I know that you like your guest hosts.
All right. Well, till the next time, we're both together.
I'm Rick Hess.
And I'm Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, signing off.